Okay, it's time for the silly little intro thing. Hello, welcome to the 106th episode of the Over the Monster podcast. I am Matt Corey. It is 1 in the afternoon on Wednesday, June 25th. And thank you, Red Sox. I have beer. And, of course, with me, Brendan O'Toole. Although Brendan has beer as well, but he has a legitimate excuse after it's after 4 o'clock on the East Coast, so it is indeed.
Yeah,
you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget to say this up front. If you like this podcast, it would be a nice thing to go to the iTunes and give us some stars. It's an easy clicky click, and it makes us feel good about ourselves. The other thing is, You can follow us on the Twitter. I'm at MattyMatty2000. Brendan is at UnexpectedBass, which I believe is a reference to your deep and radio-y voice. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the 160 pounds soaking wet, but somehow sound like this. So.
I've met you before. I know that you're 6'8", 340 pounds.
I actually look just like Vince Wilfork.
In fact, I believe Brendan O'Toole is your podcast name.
Yes, got me into radio.
That's right. All right. So things are going badly for the Red Sox and for a number of reasons. And Brendan, you're going to sort of kick us off here. Is that correct?
Yeah. So right now the situation is, they're almost halfway through the season. They're at 35-43. This morning on Over the Monster, Ben covered that, you know, people keep saying, oh, well, they're only 7 games out. And they're not that far back in the wild card. But they're at the point where they're that far back in the wild card, but they're also behind a lot of other teams. And I think, what is it? It's Baseball Reference keeps a thing where they keep track of, like, not only your games back, but how many games you have to win over the teams in front of you.
Uh-huh.
And in that situation, they're, like, 30 games back. It's like they have to get, 7 games up in the standings, but they also have to have the Twins and the Indians and the Yankees and the Orioles and everybody else to fall down.
So some of that happens, if the Red Sox start winning a lot of games, right? I mean, because they're going to be beating teams in their division. Not all of it, but some of that happens.
Right. Yeah. The direct head-to-head stuff obviously works. Obviously, every time that, the Red Sox beat the Orioles, they gain a game on the Orioles. So that, that's certainly helpful with that. The simple fact is that right now there are, I think 3 teams in the American League that are behind the Red Sox.
Ahead?
Yeah. right now, let's see, where are they?
The Blue Jays are in first at 44-35, then the Yankees
right.
at 39 wins, and the Orioles have 40 wins but 36 losses. They're actually ahead. I'm looking at Baseball Prospectus' standings, and so they're organized differently, not just based on win-loss. And then the Red Sox are 35-43.
So Boston is, they're 8.5 back in the division.
Right.
And in terms of the overall league, they're third from the bottom. They're only ahead of the Astros and the Rays.
Yes.
Either they would have to vault over the Yankees, Orioles, and the Blue Jays to win the division, which is theoretically possible. They've got a lot of games left with them. Or they have to vault over about 7 other teams to get to a wild card spot. We're at that point where it's like, there's a lot. There's not that much season left. There's about half of it, and they need to beat basically everybody in the league to get a playoff berth. So the question is, now what the hell do they do?
Well, Baseball Prospectus does a playoff odds, and they update it daily. So they have the Red Sox at 8.7% to make the playoffs this year, which, to be honest with you, is higher than I would have guessed at this point. Let's see, the playoff adjusted. Yeah, they don't break it. Oh, they do break it down. Division, they say the division is more likely than the wild card for the Red Sox at this point. So that sort of backs up what you were saying. Although they're both, quite low. apologies. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, but that's basically it. So the question, now it's just a question of, well, you know, what happens? You know, do they sort of stand pat? Do they start the fire sale? Do they start trading off some bits?
Well, that is sort of the interesting question, because you've got a month, right, between now and the trade deadline. And there are a number of guys who are on, essentially at this point, you know, their 1-year deals with the Red Sox. Either their contracts long-term are expiring or their short-term deals are expiring. You know, so you kind of have to make some decisions, like you were saying, you know, between now and the next month. So I wouldn't expect the Red Sox to add anything unless it's going to be a long-term add, you know. Like I wrote the other day, I sort of wrote about you, Darvish. I really wrote about adding a big player. And I sort of intended it more for the offseason than for now. But in any case, the possibility exists that they could add somebody who would be with the team for a while on a long-term contract. But that seems sort of unlikely. And it seems equally unlikely that they're going to deal anybody while there's still a chance. A 1 in 10 chance isn't good, or 1 in 12 isn't good, but it's something. It's not nothing. You know, this is the team that just won the World Series last year, so they do have some talent. They're playing, I think we can agree. Well, actually, that's a good question. Are they playing underneath their talent level? Are they better than this? Or are we sort of conditioned based on last season to think they're better, but this is really kind of who they are?
I mean, it's tough to say, mostly because, last year's standard, obviously, they ran away with the Eastern Division and then won the World Series. So, you know, anything is worse. But they're not a sub 500 team. I think looking at the roster going into this year, last year they got some really good seasons out of a couple of players. They got amazing seasons out of Victorino and Ellsbury and Pedroia and Ortiz. They got great seasons out of Lester and out of Lackey. They got a borderline historical season out of Koji. But none of those seasons was completely absurd given the players involved.
Right.
And the only one they lost was Ellsbury.
Well, Koji's was a little absurd.
But of them, it's like, as valuable as a really, you know, stellar closer is, it's still a closer. You can only be so valuable.
Right.
The other guys are the more important players. Everybody has been playing down this year almost as well as they played up last year. I think you could realistically say this is not, you know, the roster they had last year might not have been like a 98-win team. It might have been a 90-win team. And I think it's reasonable to say that this year's team is not, I mean, at this point, they're looking at like 75 wins. And I think this team is probably better than that. They're not a 98-win team, but they might be an 88-win team. They just haven't played well. It's like whenever, you know, the last couple of weeks, the starting pitching was amazing and the offense couldn't hit anything.
Right.
And the offense started hitting again a little bit the last couple of days. And then, you know, John Lackey had the worst game he's had all season. And Jake Peavy continued to make his case for Pawtucket.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's weird. And I don't know how much you subscribe to this, but I was looking at some stats beforehand to see, you know, what the Red Sox are doing well, what they're not doing well. And at least by WAR, by Fangraphs WAR, the Red Sox have the second best pitching staff in baseball. Did you know that? I did not know that.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. And is first Tampa?
No, the Nationals.
Okay, the Nationals. Yeah. Okay.
Then actually the Yankees.
Okay.
Then the Cubs.
Huh.
I mean, you know, Smarja is having a really good year. Yep. Hamill is having a really good year, and they've got another guy whose name I forget who's actually pitching super, super well on the Cubs. It's sort of bizarre, but they're sort of like the Red Sox. They can't score to save their damn lives.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, you know, I think it's not that the Red Sox don't need pitching help, but I think the issue is very clearly you know, their offense. They're just not hitting, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, part of it is, you know, it was injuries and underperformance. I think they really shot themselves in the foot when they sent Daniel Nava down and kept Grady Sizemore. You know, that's total Monday morning quarterback. It's not necessarily what I said at the time. I don't remember what I said at the time, but it probably wasn't, this is a horrible, horrible decision. but it turned out horribly. Sizemore gave them absolutely nothing. And Nava, one of their better hitters last year, was in the minor leagues and had, you know, his confidence messed with. And then, you know, you were noting some of their better players last year. Ellsbury, obviously, he's gone. Victorino, effectively gone, hasn't really played at all. And when he has played, he's been injured and hasn't played well. I mean, it's not hard to see, per se, how this offense has taken a step back. But I don't think we would have looked at it and gone, well, Bradley's going to be, you know, a replacement level hitter or even worse. You know, Gomes is going to be the regular left fielder, i.e. a bad player. on and on and on. Anyway, I'm trying to say that I think the Red Sox took a reasonable course over the offseason, even if they expected some regression. I don't think the decisions they made were bad ones. So, I don't know. But I guess that's off topic. sorry. The issue is, you know, are they far enough back, Brendan, that you would be comfortable with them starting to make some trades? I mean, let's go down a list. That's even better. Who would you deal right now? Where is the Red Sox? I want to find a team. Oh, here it is. Would you deal Johnny Gomes right now?
Just
assume you get almost nothing back. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, right. I would, for two reasons. One is that, you know, I feel like he would be in demand because, as he keeps pointing out to everyone, he's a valuable clubhouse presence. I also would like to trade him just because I would like to take him away from John Farrell. just stop playing him all the time. So I think that's part of, I think Gomes I would trade because he is, you know, he is still a really good platoon bat.
He really is, actually.
You know, yeah. He still absolutely mashes lefties. He's still a good guy to have on your team. And if he goes to a team that understands that he is a platoon player, then that's great. He can be like a good guy to, you know, to keep going with the, you know, with somebody in a playoff chase who needs somebody who can go after the lefty relievers late. That would be great. And yeah, he wouldn't bring much back. So you might get a reliever. You might get, like, you know, one B level prospect. But yeah, I think Gomes would be worth trading.
Just for the record, Gomes against lefties, he's hitting .305 with a .416 on base percentage and slugging .451. Against righties, he's hitting .167 with a .256 on base percentage and slugging .282. I'm in agreement with you. I would trade Johnny Gomes. That would be fine. AJ Pierzynski, do we even need to discuss this?
Make him gone.
I feel like he was signed under the, I don't know, I want to say under the right, you know, the right method, the right process, but I don't know anybody who liked that signing at the very beginning. It just seemed bad. Like, I understand that they wanted they want the young guys to come up and to their credit, the young catchers in the system are both, but the two major guys, you know, are having really good years. You know, Vasquez is hitting fine in AAA and customary great defense, included, in that package. And then Blake Swihart in Portland is hitting extremely well, and apparently playing really good defense as well and improving. You know, so in that sense, I guess you understand not wanting to lock in on a veteran catcher for 3 years like you would have had to with Salty. But man, I don't know. I think it's better to have too many guys than not enough, and I think they set themselves up to have not enough guys with this. So,
yeah, I think with Pierzynski too, he's a signing that would have been great for last year's Red Sox. Like, if Salty had been a free agent and they had a team that was performing really well, Pierzynski would have worked. And if the team had overall performed as it had last year, even closer to how it had last year, I think Pierzynski is a good signing because you can hide him. You know, the problem is that Pierzynski has played the exact season he always plays. He's halfway decent defensively, and he swings at everything, but he has some pop and he'll go on a hot streak occasionally. But on a team with the offense that this team has had, you know, that guy who's going to swing at the first pitch and ground to a double play whenever he possibly can is going to hurt the team much worse than he might otherwise.
So the
overall struggles of the team have magnified Pierzynski's flaws, I think. And I think that's the big problem, is that it's a team that last year's team would have been great to accept Pierzynski's strengths because they're similar strengths to Salty. You know, not great, but not terrible defensively, a little bit of pop, not the most disciplined hitter. And obviously they would have gotten him on a shorter deal because they would have had to extend Salty probably, 3 or 4 years. And they could have traded him. I mean, you know, he certainly would have had some trade value if they decided that Vasquez or Swihart is ready for next year. I think that's another thing that always confused me about the Pierzynski thing, is like, it's not like the Red Sox have been shy about trading veterans if they think the young guy's ready to come up. So if they had re-signed Salty for a year and he had been exactly the same catcher as they had last year without the more aggravating portions of it, and then they decided, you know, come March 2015, Blake Swihart's ready to start, you know, then they could have traded Salty and they would have found a good taker for him.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I guess it comes down to believing in the player's performance too. I mean, you know, if they thought that Salty was going to be worth his money, although I don't know, what is he making, $7 million a year? I don't know how you don't think he's worth that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's 7 a year. It's like, that's it, and it's the Red Sox. That's nothing.
Yeah. So, anyway, so we're in agreement. Get rid of Pierzynski. You know, it's not. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is going forward. My guess is they're just going to wait things out. But I feel like if they're going to, even if they're going to wait things out, if they want to trade Gomes, if they want to trade Pierzynski right now today, I think those are defensible moves. Mujica, he's been awful, but he's a reliever. Stuff goes all over the place with relievers. He's on a 2-year deal. I don't know how you cut him. No one's going to want him. You know, you're not going to be able to trade for him. He's got no value. So I think you just, especially if the team is bad, you just try to ride through it and hopefully you have a good reliever next year. Capuano is not going to survive this season. There's, you know, maybe not even today, based on, the need of a 25-man roster spot to put Clay Buchholz back in the rotation. Let's see. Who else do you get rid of? Do you deal, I should say? Sadly, Shane Victorino's not going to have any value. I mean, if they wanted to make that trade, you know, if he was healthy, then that might be worth discussing. I don't know. But he's not. Who am I missing? I guess the two big pitchers. On one hand, you've got Koji. And on the other hand, you've got John Lester. Both of them are free agents at the end of the year. So I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I can ask you about Lester, and that's fine. But neither of us knows what their contract talks are like.
Right.
You know, I mean, are they going to give him a contract extension? Are they going to let him hit the market? If they're going to let him hit the market, they should trade him. Because they're not going to re-sign him if he hits the market. He's going to get more money in more years than they're going to want to give him, which sucks, and I hate that, but whatever. They'll survive without John Lester. I think, you know, were it up to me, I would try to pay the man to keep him, and I think you are of the same mindset, but They are going to do what they do. So if he's not going to sign an extension, I mean, I think you look to deal him, don't you? Or, I mean, right? I mean, his second half of this year is going to be valueless to the Red Sox, you know, assuming they're not going to cash in that 8.5% chance to make the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I'm very much on record with I have no idea why the Red Sox wouldn't be throwing out every possible stop to re-sign him.
Yeah,
because you know he's been the best pitcher on the Red Sox for the better part of a decade. It makes no sense to me. But yeah, if they have for whatever reason decided that they just don't want John Lester back, that they'd rather ride with Anthony Renato, and you know. Which, fine, he totally won't get eaten alive by the Blue Jays. But yeah, if that's what they want to do, then yeah, you have to trade him. Just because if you have made a decision that you're not going to re-sign this guy, yeah, it's like if you trade him to a contender, that contender is looking at 2 to 3 months of a top 10 pitcher in the league, plus the playoffs, right, with a guy who has done exceptional work in the playoffs. And that's valuable. It's not more, whatever they get for him is not almost certainly going to be more valuable than John Lester.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not going to be because it'd be a 2 month rental. Even if they trade him to a team that has the financial capacity to re-sign John Lester, there's obviously no guarantee of it. So I think people are looking at trading John Lester and thinking that, even if they think Lester is overrated, they'll get a lot back for him. And it's like, no, guys, again, it's 2 months. You know, how much would you really give up for 2 months of some vaguely comparable pitcher? You know, if people were advocating a couple of years ago, like, oh, we need to get Cliff Lee for 2 months, we should trade half the farm for him, that would be stupid because it's 2 months.
Right.
You're not going to give that up. So the Red Sox could get, you know, a decent prospect, maybe a couple of good prospects, depending on the team and how desperate they were for a number one or a high two starter.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. If they have decided for whatever reason that they're not going to re-sign him, then yeah, get something for him at the very least, because, you know, otherwise you're looking at a draft pick, which fine, but
right.
I'd rather have a player.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's at this point, it's a, you know, supplemental draft pick is what they're going to get for John Lester when he inevitably signs a 6 or 7 year contract with somebody else. So, yeah, and that's a guy that you wait on. You know, 8.5% playoff odds are not good. But you know, you don't want to deal that guy and then start going and then go on a run, and then you don't have him. In fact, you're competing against him. Unless you deal him to the National League, which is another issue. But, yeah, so I wouldn't deal him now, but if this run of play continues and contract talks are going nowhere, I think you have to trade him. Yeah, so, boy, that sucks. Moving on to another nice and depressing question is Koji. Mark Normandin of the internets and over the monster and SB Nation and everywhere else is of the opinion that the Red Sox would re-sign Koji, and so he doesn't think that you know that he would need to be dealt, you know, that they would lose anything if they didn't trade him. I don't know. I mean, Koji's wonderful. And I, you know, how can you not love Koji if you're a Red Sox fan? But he's what, 40 years old?
Getting close, yeah.
Let me see. I'll clicky click and we'll find out. And you know, he's had a lot of injuries. Yeah, he's 39 this year, so he'll be 40 next year. He's had a lot of injuries over the course of his career. Last year, he threw more innings than he'd ever thrown in the majors. This year, he's been really super good, but not quite at that level. I think he's got a lot of value, and I think he's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you're gonna, I think if they're out of it, I think a smart team trades him. I think they should re-sign Lester, and I think they should trade Koji if they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't know, unless you're willing to give him the qualifying offer, which next year could be $16 million. I mean, do you want to pay a 40-year-old closer $16 million? I don't know. Maybe you do. I mean, if anyone is worth it on a one-year deal, Koji might be. But that's a lot of dough that could be spent elsewhere. I mean, last year, as great as he was a two-win pitcher. So, no, there you go. I think they may end up trading him it obviously depends on, you know, what they get back, but that's another guy that you look to wait, you know, towards the deadline and make sure that the team is not going to make a run. Or I don't know, talk to him about an extension maybe and see what he wants. But after the last 2 years, I can't imagine he's going to want, what's he making, $4 million a year or something? I mean, almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a guy that I think he's making 4.25. So, you know, triple that for next year. I don't know. What do you think? I'm obviously rendered relatively speechless by the thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Koji. He's just been astounding. He's done everything the Red Sox have asked and more. And it's been fun to watch. Not just in the ridiculous, like, he throws 87, how the hell is he doing this kind of way, but he seems to be a genuinely fun guy and a guy that his teammates really love. I mean, you know, the old line is that, you know, an ace closer is a luxury. It's something that a mediocre team doesn't need. And I think we're both agreed that the actual talent base of this team is better than a mediocre team.
Yeah.
But that's not how they're playing. And it doesn't look like they're going to stop playing like that. If there is a team, and there probably will be a team at the trade deadline that is willing to get panicky and stupid about their bullpen, take advantage of that. Because I love Koji. I'd love to see him, you know, back for another year when the Red Sox are good again. I think he can continue his performance because, if nothing else, he has a history of injuries, but he's clearly not a max effort pitcher. I think he can keep doing it for a couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, if tomorrow morning, not that he has that many prospects to give up, but if Dave Dombrowski calls up tomorrow, like, we can't do this anymore. We can't leave it to maybe Jabba. Please, please, please give us Koji. You listen to that phone call and you probably pull the trigger. As much as I would love to see Koji stick with it, and as much as I love watching him pitch every other night, yeah, a team that's not winning that many games doesn't need a guy to preserve those leads.
That's true. A couple more names. I think Andrew Miller, his contract is up at the end of the year. He's been super good. He's not giving up hits. He's striking out a crazy amount of guys. He's actually not even walking that many. It seems like every time I look at him, he's walking somebody, but he's walking 2.67 per nine, and he's striking out 14.5 or 14.25. He's been super, super good, but he's a reliever. He's not even an end of the, you know, back of the, well, front of the bullpen, I don't know, whatever you call it. So I would expect that they may deal him as well. I don't know. I mean, do you want to get into the habit of handing out multi-year contracts to relief pitchers when you've got so many guys in the minor leagues who might be ready to step into that role? I don't know. Maybe you do. Is Miller a guy that you would move? Would you look to extend him?
He's been great for the Red Sox, which is excellent. On the other hand, he's, you know, established himself as a pretty good setup option, and he's a lefty, which helps out in trade value a little bit. It obviously makes him more valuable to the Red Sox, too. But, yeah, Miller is a guy that I think could bring back something interesting. and he is good enough that he's a guy you would like to have on the team long term, but he's not on that like elite Koji level of a guy that you could see being, you know, a absolutely critical piece of the next great team. Although, of course, obviously Miller is 10 years younger. I think he's an easy trade target. Yeah. He's a guy they're going to have a lot of offers on, and I think that will help their leverage on it. Because, you know, if they can tell their potential trade partners, hey, there are five other guys who are looking at Andrew Miller, that's going to boost his price substantially. And, you know, also being a reliever, I mean, you know, it's not unrealistic that the Red Sox could re-sign him even after trading him. Like, Koji would get extended. He, you know, whoever had him would almost certainly try to sign him to an additional year or two, or somebody would be willing to give him $12 million, which I don't think the Red Sox would be willing to do. Whereas Miller, you know, just because he doesn't have, you know, 30 saves next to his name, you could get him back for $4 million and it wouldn't be a problem.
I think the Red Sox would pay Koji $12 million next year. You don't think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they certainly could. They certainly have the money. Why they would pay Koji $12 million and not pay John Lester $20 is...
Well,
annoying.
Yeah, that's absolutely
but,
true.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I absolutely killed the Tigers over, you know, their choice of not paying, you know, Doug Fister, trading Doug Fister, you know, for a prospect who is, you know, okay, but not amazing or anything, a starting pitching prospect. I can't remember his name. You know, then turning around and spending the money that they would have spent on Fister on Joe Nathan, who, you know, has been in and out of the closer role. I mean, again, you know, you're spending a lot of money on a really old reliever. And that's always iffy, I think. I mean, we love Koji and we love watching him. And but, you know, his performance hangs by a thread at all times, both injury-wise and you know, stuff-wise, you know, if he loses a mile or two off his fastball, you know, arm motion, et cetera, you know, the split maybe doesn't drop quite as much and the fastball doesn't quite get past people. Hi, cat. Crazy cat. Crazy cat is here yelling at me. Come here, crazy cat. And, yeah, so I think... it's always dangerous to go and pay older pitchers a lot of money. And, you know, on a one-year deal, you can survive it. I think they gave him Nathan too. I don't know. But I would absolutely hate for them to, you know, pay $14 or $16 million or whatever it is to Koji and then, you know, then let Lester walk. That would drive me up a friggin' wall. Is there anybody else? I don't think there's anybody. Oh, well, Jake Peavy, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean.
Help yourself, National League. It's a,
yeah, right. Somebody,
it's a
you
Peavy
know,
buffet.
He has his own transportation. He'll be fine.
I don't, you know, the Red Sox will, they're going to pay Jake Peavy money whether he plays for them or not. And at this point, it's almost better for them to pay him to pitch somewhere else. You know, whether they are going to win this year or not. If they win this year, it's not going to be because of him. If they win this year or if they don't win this year, they're going to want to use the next, you know, 80 to 90 games, whatever it is, to look at a guy like Ruby De La Rosa, to look at a guy like Brandon Workman, you know, maybe to look at a guy like Matt Barnes to try to figure out what they have here and what they're going to need to do to get ready for the next time they can win next year, which sucks to say in the end of June that that's where we're already looking, but I think that's relatively clear, I guess. So is there anything, I mean, we haven't talked about John Lackey. I don't know. I think I'm on record, and if I'm not, let me go on record as saying that they should go to him if they haven't already. I don't know, obviously. But they should go to him with a contract extension, you know, willing to eat that year and, but pay him a much smaller salary than a guy that, of his stature and talent level it would normally get. So I don't know whether that's 2 years, $20 million, 2 years, $16 million, whatever that is. I would be all for that. I don't think him being upset and angry at the organization, well, it doesn't matter. You know, I keep hearing people say, well, he signed that contract. Well, yeah, he did. But that doesn't mean he's going to be happy about it. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a guy who may not literally, may literally opt not to not pitch potentially, because he's upset with his salary. And I don't know that you really even want to deal with that. Especially when you can afford to make it right and get the guy longer term for less money. It seems like a win-win for both guy, for both the team and the player. But if he's not into that, I don't know, maybe you look to deal him too. I guess I have a hard time. The main problem is, you know, you can deal all these guys in the abstract. And most of the guys we talked about, bullpen guys, that's fine. Even Koji, you know, but once you start dealing major pieces of your starting rotation away, you need somebody to come in, step in. And the Red Sox have a bunch of young guys in AAA and in AA who might be able to step in, but they also might not. And you're putting a lot on the plate, you know, on their shoulders, you know, when you trade Lester and or don't re-sign him, when you trade Lackey, don't re-sign him. You know, it can, do you really want to go next year, into next year with, you know, Workman, De La Rosa, Buchholz, maybe Dobrant, maybe, you know, Matt Barnes, et cetera, et cetera. All those guys are fine prospects, but do you really want to expect them to throw 200 innings and win the American League East? Like, it just seems like the biggest kind of wish casting you could have. Like, some of those guys might turn into somebody. All of them are not. That's not happening. It's not it's not realistic. Now, they all could all turn into major league players, you know. Maybe some of them are relievers. Maybe some of them are mediocre relievers. Some of them are back of the starting rotation guys, etc. It just seems like that's not the best policy. And, you know, obviously, I don't mean to jump over an entire offseason. They'll have some chances to sign some guys, to make some trades. But so with all of that blabbing, is Lackey a guy you would look to trade?
He's a guy that I think the Red Sox should dangle a little bit. Like, I mean, I think it's pretty clear at this point that if the Red Sox continue as they're playing for the next 2 weeks, they're going to make it known to the rest of baseball. Like, just, you know, give us a call, because basically everybody but Xander is at least negotiable, which is a good place for any ball club to be. You should always be willing to make a trade to make the team better, you know, in the short term, if that's what you're looking at, in the long term, pretty much always. But yeah, Lackey is also a guy I would, and I never thought I would be saying this 2 years ago, a guy I would like to see stay on the Red Sox. And for the exact reason you just talked about, you know, I think when I was writing about extending Lester a couple of weeks ago, I was like, look, you know, if you get rid of Lester, then on some level, what you are saying is you are expecting at least one of, you know, Workman or De La Rosa or Renato or Barnes or Webster or Owens down the line to turn into John Lester, or at least to be a vague approximation of him. And that's not going to happen. Like, it might, but I'd give it a 10% chance. You know, he's been one of the better pitchers in baseball for a long time, and that's very, very hard to find. And if you let Lackey go as well, you know, if you trade Lackey and you let Lester walk, you're looking at replacing John Lester and John Lackey with those guys. So you need at least two of them to hit, which is an even higher bar, especially with the rest of the rotation, because, you know, at that point, your veteran rotation is, they could go for Peavy's option, although I have no idea what they, why they would right now.
No, it won't happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And then you're looking at, you know, the veteran presence in your rotation is Felix Dubront, and who the hell knows, and Clay Buchholz. And I think you know, we've gotten to the point in his career, Clay Buchholz is pushing 30. We've gotten to the point where we know what he is. He is utterly spectacular in flashes. But, you know, counting on him to be your 200-inning-a-year horse, I'm not going to put a team on that. I just don't think it's realistic. So, yeah, so you're betting a lot on that if you decide that those are two guys you're willing to part with. So, yeah, I feel like you keep Lackey and you try to negotiate something. Because, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, activating that major league minimum option, on the one hand, holy crap, is that great for the Red Sox. And, you know, I think John Lackey's still a professional baseball player. Like, he would play for it, but, yeah, I don't think he'd be happy about it.
Yeah, I agree.
And why muddy the waters when you can just decide, all right, we're going to scrap that, and, you know, here's a two-year, $24 million contract, because that's, you know, that's nothing for the Red Sox. But, yeah, it's like you have to keep at least one of those guys because you need some sort of stable presence in that rotation, and those are the only two guys right now that I would count on for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're looking at, you know, potentially a fair amount of turnover and potentially none at all. It's kind of interesting situation to be in, I guess. I mean, I think there's a couple guys like we noted that, you know, that if there's any interest, you deal in right now. You know, probably that's PV and maybe Gomes and Pierzynski. And if, you know, if anyone wants Mike Karp or, you know, Chris Capuano, come help yourselves. you should see Mike Karp's pitching stats, by the way. Boy, are they bad.
Oh, geez, no.
but anyway, yeah, I think there's some, you know, pieces like that you happily move. And that's, you know, whether it's 8.5% playoff odds or not. And then there's some guys where you ride out the next 3 weeks and you kind of hope that, I don't know, that the Red Sox remember how to hit the damn baseball. Because that's really what it is. I mean, you know, if you get to the point where you can't win, then you start looking at dealing pitchers off and that's fine, but that's going to impact next season. And so you want to make sure that you're prepared for that. And, that's where things get complicated. It's not hard to tear this team down. It is hard to tear this team down and not, you know, and be prepared for 2015, you know, to put a winning team on the field there. So anyway, I can't promise listeners that this podcast will be any more pleasant in the future. I think, I think it's going to be a really interesting thing, you know, where the Red Sox are. I mean, in a sort of odd way, you know, 2007 is what you shoot for. That's the homegrown team, you know, that, you know, you've worked years to put together and they come together and they win the division and they win the World Series and they're the best team in baseball. That's what you aim at. 2004 and 2013 are more, you know, we happen to find a bunch of guys in free agency who are having great years. Not necessarily guys who are great players, but who are having great years. And that is a harder mark to hit. You know, that's a moving target. So I don't think you aim at that. And I think that you end up, you know, with a group of guys, kind of like the Red Sox did in 2005, you know. They let some guys go in free agency after the 04 season. You know, there was a group of guys who were from that winning team who didn't perform well in 2005. And some of them had to get dropped midseason, which really sucked. I see some sort of sad similarities between those two teams. I mean, obviously this team doesn't have quite the injury problems that team did. And that team was probably better in comparison, to their competition than this team is. But I think there's definitely some guys who are probably headed out the door, and it'll be interesting to see what the organization does and how they do it, how they start to set themselves up for 2015. I'm going to be doing some traveling over the next couple weeks, so I don't know if we're going to have a podcast during that time. We may be able to sneak one in. I'm not sure. But if we don't, then we'll have one shortly after 2 weeks is up. I hope, assuming Brendan's around. So is there anything else that we need to discuss, Brendan?
I think that's pretty much it. Just a, general exhortation, play better Red Sox.
Yeah, right. Well, you never know. 8.5% isn't nothing. Maybe they'll start hitting. you won't catch me doubling down on that, but maybe they will. It certainly would be fun, and it wouldn't be utterly crazy. I mean, obviously a talented team, and they are, last year they were better than the sum of their parts, and this year they've been worse than the sum of their parts. So, maybe there's a little positive regression, happy regression coming. I don't know. That's going to do it for us here at the Over the Monster podcast. So thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. We will be back in a couple weeks. Now I just have to find the off button. Okay. Bye.